Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Everything is Tine podcast. My name is Jeremy.
My name is Ruby.
And today we're talking about... What are we talking about?
We're going to talk about introverts and extroverts, and more specifically, if this idea of, like, opposites attract, specifically in friendships, where a lot of people claim that, oh, yeah, like, my best friend is a complete opposite of me. Like, if that dynamic really is something that works, at least for us, like, what we think about it, I'm curious to know what you guys think about it, because I haven't really found that dynamic to work amazingly, but, you know.
It's something that's parroted a lot, that, you know, oh, if you're an introvert, gotta get yourself an extroverted friend. They'll take you places, you'll balance each other out well, you'll learn from each other and grow. And it's
what,
like,
one of you lacks, the other one has, so it's like a perfect combination.
Which... I don't know. So, question. I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
So, is that predicated on the idea that you're an introvert, say I'm an extrovert, I'm not, but let's say for this example we are. In that sort of interaction, are you supposed to reach a medium? Like, is the extrovert supposed to become more introverted and the introvert supposed to become more extroverted? And then
no,
you both end up balanced?
I think it's insinuating that, like, the combination of personalities balances out when you hang out with each other, to where, like, whatever, like, if you're out doing something and someone who's more introverted may not, like, this has happened to us before, at least to me before. Like,
it
if
has.
Like, you can, like, if you see your food over there and the introvert doesn't, like, want to say anything or whatever, like, the other person who's more extrovert would be like, oh, this, or, like, let's say that the introvert orders, like, the wrong food, or, like, they order the right food and the waiter brings the wrong food. I feel like a lot of people probably wouldn't say something, but I feel like someone who's extroverted will probably say something. They take over in different situations, and so it's a nice balance when you spend time together. Because if you're not able to do something, the other person compensates for that action.
Well, what does the introvert compensate for, then? If the extrovert... that's the question I have. Like, what role would you or I play in balancing out the extrovert?
I think, and this is maybe just a stereotypes of introverts, but this idea that introverts maybe think before they do things. And so if the extrovert's about to do something really stupid, the introvert will be like, you know, maybe we should not do this. Or I've heard that, like, it helps the other person be less reckless. In terms of, like, extroverts who maybe don't think about their actions before they do it, the introvert's kind of like, maybe we should think through this. We should probably say... We're both introverts.
Yeah.
Just in case you were wondering, you know. I know Jeremy can seem a lot like an extrovert sometimes, but...
No, I mean, I think introverts can operate in extroverted ways if they need to. I can force myself.
That's a you thing. I don't think... I've seen introverts who are not able to do that whatsoever. Yeah, like... mutual friends who I'd say aren't, like, best at operating in those type of situations.
I guess that's fair, yeah.
I mean, I've had classmates who also, it's like, they're very introverted. And so, like, where I think I'm able to push myself to be more extroverted when I need to. And that's mainly through, like, volunteer work I've done and stuff where, like, I've had to be in charge of, like, groups of people. So, like, I've, like, learned that skill. But I've met a lot of introverts who are not able to do that at all.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I get that, but then... like you were saying with your volunteer work, how do you make it, this is going to sound terrible, how do you make it to a certain point in your life not having to have done that?
Right.
You know, like it's a learned skill. It's like public speaking, something I had to do a lot when I was younger, so I can do it now.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't come naturally.
No. And then taking like high schoolers overseas with like certain organizations, it's like I've dealt with all of that to where like I can like take a group of high school students, icebreakers, I can do all that by myself or with another college student. And that's because you have to be extroverted. Like you have to be hype. But normally they pair you with like if you're someone who's introverted, they'll pair you with someone who's more extroverted. So that, you know, it kind of works out well. Because I can, like, be extroverted for a certain amount of time, but there's a certain point that I hit where I'm like, I can't do that anymore. So, I don't know. I feel like some like, that's another thing. Like, I can push myself to be an extrovert, but only to a certain extent. That's why I think it helps having extroverts as friends. It's nice having extroverted friends. We're not here to be like, the dynamic doesn't work at all. I think it's a very useful and it's a fun dynamic. I do enjoy being friends with extroverts to an extent. Because... I've been in situations where, like, I'm hanging out with someone who's an extrovert, and they're the type that likes to go. So they're like, let's go to, like, 10 different places in a day, and I can't do that. I mean, maybe you're that type of person.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. It's hard to be objective about it because I just sort of adapt to the situation and go with it.
So you could go to like 10, you could be like, yes, let's go play tennis and then rock climbing and then see a movie.
Well,
and
actually, that would be fine for me. I could do that. Like, for example, let's go on a hike and then let's do this and let's do that. That are all things where I can think and not be talking. I can do that. It's when
tennis, you can just like sit there and think about other things while you're playing tennis.
I'm not having a conversation with the person when we're playing tennis.
I guess so.
Are you talking to the person as you're playing tennis? Hello, how are you? Bam.
No, I think I'm the opposite of you then, because I would much rather be in situations where it's like, let's go to this person's house and do something. And then like later on, let's like, I don't like doing like a bunch of activities back to back to back. Sure. Like, what is the point of us going to a movie? That's something I hate. Like going to a movie with friends. It's like, why would we go see a movie? I'm not going to be able to talk to you. We're just going to sit here and watch. I can do that alone. You know? Not that I like watching movies alone. Uh-huh. What I'm saying is that like, if I'm hanging out with people, I do not want to be going and doing a bunch of activities in a row where I'm not having to interact with you. If I'm hanging out with you, we better be like talking and doing something and having meaningful conversation.
No, I get where you're coming from.
So things like tennis and like paintball and laser tag are not things that you can do back to back to back and really have a meaningful conversation.
No.
And so it irritates me when we're doing that back to back to back to like 10 p.m. and I feel like I spent the whole day with these people and I haven't had one deep conversation. Sorry, I'm very much like, no. That's right. What I really don't like that. I also don't think I'm like a busybody in that sense. Like, I don't want to be doing that much in a day where I'm just like dead by the end of the day.
No, I mean, I don't have any issues with doing those activities with people because it would get me out and doing the activities, although maybe I'd be doing them anyway. And you do bond with somebody if you're going on a hike. You can talk to somebody on a hike.
Okay, yeah, a hike.
You know?
But like tennis, paintball.
Well, I would not be playing paintball, but.
Okay, tennis, soccer.
Yeah, that would be harder. But I mean, I would still do it and I'd be fine with it. That wouldn't drain my social batteries. That's the point I'm trying to make. I wouldn't feel drained at the end of the day if we did a bunch of stuff like that.
I don't feel drained. I feel cheated of like whatever.
I wouldn't feel cheated either because it's still time with the person. And, you know, if this is a good friend, you'll meet up with them a different time and you can talk.
I guess so. But a lot of like who I am is very much wrapped up in the idea of like, I want to have a meaningful conversation with people. So it really irritates me if I'm doing it's kind of like the equivalent of like small talk for me. It's like this doing stuff where I'm not having a conversation. This isn't like growing our relationship. Unless I'm like super close friends with them to the point where like, no, I still want to have a deep conversation. Never mind. I don't know where I was going with that. I mean, sometimes it's fine, but I can't just do that over and over and over again. Sorry. Like, I just interesting. Don't want to. I think I was more like that when I was younger. But now, like, I just can't do back-to-back-to-back activities. I get exhausted. It's just, like, a lot. And I'm like, I just feel like I haven't had a deep conversation with anyone. And then I'm like, what am I really doing today? What is my purpose?
That's interesting. So you don't find deep conversations to be draining with people?
No.
Interesting. Well, you're more, I've noticed this too. You are more talkative than I am in a one-on-one situation, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I deep conversations give me more energy to think, and thinking gives me more. Well, not always gives me more energy, but I will say, because it can be draining. But like, I've noticed with a lot of my friends now, like the deeper the conversation, the more energy I have. And so I have friends who are like thinking tires them to a certain degree. And so they're like, how are you still energetic? And I'm like, I just am. Like, I having deep conversations does not tire me at all. If anything, I just have more questions to ask after that, or things like I want to know, or things that like we have to talk about. So then I just like, that gives me energy.
I definitely
very different.
Yeah, I think so. And I definitely don't like, I don't come out of a deep conversation going like, yay, I have so much energy. Woohoo. Like that's not how I am at all. But I enjoy them and they're important and I'd rather have that than small talk, that's for sure. But I definitely don't feel energetic after a deep conversation.
I do.
I don't feel energetic. I don't feel energetic after really most conversations. And the only ones that do for me are ones where it's like, tit for tat in terms of humor, and it's like back and forth, then I'll feel energetic. But if it's like we're having a deep conversation about philosophy, I'd be like, okay, that was great, but like I don't feel energetic.
I guess so.
We're different.
Yeah, we are very different.
Yeah, I think we're different there. I think we're also just different how we handle like forced extroverted things we have to do.
Right. I don't think I could be. Well, that's not true. I think I could probably be best friends with an extrovert. I have been in the past. Not saying that was like amazing for me, but that was more because of like personality stuff. Could you be like best friends with an extrovert? Like ride or die.
It's gonna sound terrible.
We'll say it anyway.
Oftentimes I've noticed that extroverts that I've come in contact with don't always have a comprehensive understanding of what being an introvert is like, and therefore can't relate as much in terms of why you maybe don't want to go do 20 things. And then when you can't relate on that level...
You seem like you'd want to go do stuff back to back. Wasn't that just...
It's stuff where it's like you're not interacting with people, but oftentimes extroverts don't want to do that. They want to go to like party to party to party, or social event to social event to social event. That's a different ball game.
Oh. Well, maybe, but... A lot of times my extroverted friends want to just, like, go do stuff, do something out. And I'm like, I can do some things, but like I said, I don't want to be going to here.
But I do think I have a bad habit of, I will try to match someone's energy and match the level of extroversion. So...
Really? You with an extrovert just being more extroverted?
Yeah, I mean, it happens. I don't know if it's a skill or if it's like a... fight or flight thing.
Yeah, I don't have that response. But if I'm like in a group of extroverts, I let extroverts play their role and I find my role. Because normally like when you're with extroverts, you have some kind of role that you somewhat play, I feel like. Maybe not.
I don't think so.
Like,
I think the social event, like the social event turns into I'm sitting here if I'm choosing not to be extroverted. And everyone else is doing things. And because they're extroverted, they don't notice, you know?
Well, yeah. Well, it's social events. I'm saying, like, other places it works out well. But, like, things like this, if it's, like, a social event... Like, I've been at, like, one party with, like, a bunch of people. And it was just, like... I cannot. Especially if I don't know the people. It's just kind of, like, the weirdest experience. And I'm just, like, I'm fine not playing an icebreaker with 20 people.
But you're fine giving them the 20 people.
But I'm fine what?
You're fine giving them the 20
people. I can lead an icebreaker because that's my role.
Is this because you don't have to do the icebreaker? You're like, here's the icebreaker. Have at it.
No, because you still have to, you can choose to participate or not, but like, I can do the icebreaker. Normally I do the icebreaker, but here it's like these people, I'm not in like a leadership position.
I don't believe.
I have to. Like, you're forced to do... I mean, you're not forced to, but, like, why would you not? If you have to explain to them how this icebreaker works, you're going to have to do it. I've done so many icebreakers, but it's different when you're, like, a house party with college students. It's not the same thing. So let's play a drinking game of truth or dare, or, like, a drinking charade. Like, that's not the same thing as, like, leading a group of, like, high school students through, like, a icebreaker exercise. Is it for you?
No, my point is... It is different. And the one that's better for you is the one with the high school students because you don't necessarily have to be involved the whole time.
I do. That one I have to like lead the group. But there's a difference because I have a role I'm specifically playing. With like college students, it's like I'm there and I'm with like a bunch of other people who are like super social. And like I have to participate also because they're like, oh yeah. Like if I don't participate, it just like looks bad not to participate. So.
I don't know. Like when I would leave... When I would lead icebreakers for groups in college and stuff, I would go in with the mentality and the angle of icebreakers are dumb, but I'm required to give you one.
Right, but you were required to give them one. This is at a house party where people just decide to play a game. It's not the same thing.
No, my point is it's different. That's my whole point.
Okay, I was like, it's not the same thing, Jerry.
No, and that's not what I'm arguing. My point is I was way, like when I was doing the stuff for the calculus leading, I was much more comfortable doing that because I could walk in with the angle that, hey, icebreakers are dumb. We're going to do one, though, and we'll try to make it funny, and we'll get through it, and then we won't have to do it anymore. That's different than I'm being subjected to an icebreaker, and then I have to be interacting with these people that I don't know, in a college party. Like, that's not the same. My point is that they're different. And my point is, when you're leading a group, that's better because you're not having to do it constantly. You having to delegate, sure.
Right. But you don't necessarily... I mean, I've always... Most of the icebreakers that I've had to lead, like, I've done because otherwise, like, things...
No, I do them too, but my point is, like, you do it, they see it as the example, and then you don't really have to be...
It's also a different position.
It is.
You're leading it. So, like, you... It's completely different than being around people who are, like, at a party. They're just
your peers. Yeah, yeah.
So it's, like, different. I feel more comfortable if I, like, know that I have a role, and then I... It's almost like stepping into a persona. It's like, I know that I have a role that I have to play. And whereas, like, at a party, it's like, well, what am I going to do now?
Profile Ruby, one would say.
I don't have a profile myself. Like, I just don't.
You just said, I step into a role.
No, but there's not, like, a profile where, like, I can put that on social interactions. If I'm going to, like, a social interaction, it's just, like, if it's, like, a social life thing, right? Because let's be real. Like, when I lead icebreakers or stuff, even if I did that for college... I still have a position or, like, a leadership position where I can step into that persona. If I'm doing something for my social life, I'm not going to, like, step into, like, a completely different, like, hi, this is Profile Ruby. Here's my business card.
No, but there is a Profile Ruby then. It's just you have to be pushed.
Maybe I'm just, like, not aware of it.
Well, I mean, it's a role you're taking.
Yeah, maybe I'm not aware of it. There probably is.
You just claimed you're stepping into a role. What do you mean you're not aware of it?
For, like, the leadership thing, though. Yeah. But, like, for social interaction with other peers, I'm like, I don't know if I go to a party, am I really putting up, like, as much of a as, like, I've seen you put up as profile, Jeremy? I don't know. Like.
No. My point is, though, it can be accessed, but it's like you need, like, an extra push to do it or something.
So which one of us... at a social event is more extroverted? Probably you.
Me.
There's no way I'm more extroverted. I will not be. And I'm fine with that. I like observing people. That's why I like having extroverts with me, though. It's a lot more fun.
You become sound like there's zoo animals that you're watching.
No, I mean, I like observing people and talking to people. But the thing is, if I have an extrovert friend, it's just kind of like I get to meet new people, but also, like...
No.
It's not the same
thing. I'm giving you a hard time. I people watching is... amusing and entertaining, so.
Right. I think you're definitely the more extroverted one, though, of the two of us. At a social interaction, yeah. Which is weird, because you just claim that I talk more than you on a one-on-one setting.
You do.
I
don't think either of us are bad on a one-on-one setting. I don't think. Maybe I'm terrible.
Or bad.
Oh, you know, okay, this is going to sound terrible. The size of people, right? Like say you're in... Maybe if I talked about this, like if you're having to give a speech in front of people, like the sizes of people to give a speech to, I would much rather give a speech to like 1,000 people than 12.
Oh, I'd much rather give 12 people. I think if I had to choose one, maybe I'm more of a listener. That's probably not true.
One-on-one, that's not true.
I think in a one-on-one setting, I'm definitely more of a listener than like
lies.
A director.
That's such a lie. So then you're claiming when we're one-on-one,
I'm the Steven Spielberg of conversations at this point. Well, that's just with us. This is a different dynamic. We can't compare our dynamic to other people because let's be real. We've clearly proved that we're like insane. So
what?
I'm sorry, the tangents we go on, the thought process is not the same as, like, a normal conversation, I don't think. Do you go on random tangents with your friends about, like, weird things? Where you go from Goosebumps to Mr. Electric versus Mr. Electric to felt films?
It's different. It's just different, what is it, like a different cuisine, if you will, of things to pick from.
Like what? This, like, is a different topic, but a tangent that's just
right, insane. Yeah. It's typically not JJ the Jet playing with other people.
Or a hypercane. Or a felt film. Right. It's probably something more tangible.
Right, well, you know, if you get stuck in a hypercane, it's pretty tangible.
Right. Especially if Santa gives it to you.
Right, yeah.
If I had to pick the role, so which one would you say you're more of? Like, a listener or, like, someone who likes to direct conversation?
In what setting?
One-on-one settings, just in general.
I don't talk that much, I think.
I mean, I don't talk that much either, though.
No, I in like a group, yeah. But in like one-on-one, you definitely talk more than I do, I think. Well, you're searching for a deep conversation, and then you'll like, I don't mean this in a bad way, you'll like pry for stuff. And then you'll ask follow-up questions.
I'm sorry, and then I wouldn't need to know my friends.
No. You'll do that, and then you'll fill gaps of silence with like non sequiturs.
What does that mean?
Or
question. What does that even mean? Fill gaps of silence with non sequiturs.
Right, like you'll fill the space that would be silence with like sentences or similes that don't lead to anything. It's not a bad thing.
How is this just a me thing, though? I can't just be filling random things in silence with like phrases.
You do it. It's not a bad thing.
How do you know that's going to be a gap of silence, though? Like, what does that mean?
Well, there's like natural conversations, right? They have gaps of silence. Sometimes if you're two introverts one-on-one, at least from what I've noticed. Why am I getting a text message from that person? Anyway, one-on-one. And some people just like let the silence and they let it sit. And it's normal. And you're not like that. Which is a good thing because it keeps the conversation going. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying, like, this is what I'm saying. Like, I cannot sit here and be like, yep, you talk the same amount as I do one-on-one. Because it isn't accurate. I also edit these. And I know you probably talk 80% of the time.
I'm going to start talking less. No, it's
not a critique. It's just, like, it's just the...
I can't decide. No, but honestly, though, I listen a lot in conversations. This is a bad example. Like, I listen a lot.
We'll replay this conversation. No, I'm kidding.
In conversations. I don't know if I listen as much, like, more than I would, like, direct. Like, do I enjoy directing conversations?
Yes.
I would probably say that I do, because I kind of already have in mind how I, like, want it to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will... With a lot of my friends, I already know what I want to talk about. And so I have no problem directing conversations in one-on-one settings. But it's not in a malicious way. It's just like, I don't know. Sometimes if you like don't direct it, sometimes it gets into like small talk. And then it's just like, well, where are we? Because the other person doesn't direct conversation. They need to listen. And then it's just awkward silence. I'm like, But yeah, I think I probably direct conversations more than I listen. But I mean, I'm still a good listener. I'm not sitting here like, I don't listen at all to my friends.
I'm not claiming you don't listen to your friends.
No, I just don't think that, like, I think I prefer directing conversations. I think I've probably been that way consistently with our friendship. I think being best friends with an extrovert would be fine. It's at one point, it's like,
it's a fine
they want to do too much. Like, if they're going, and they bring you along, like, one day, it's like, okay, I can do that. But, like, once it hits day three of doing that, I'm like, I just need to be alone.
Yeah.
And sometimes that like hurts people's feelings. And I'm like,
but then that goes back to my point of then they don't understand you.
So do you think an extrovert can truly understand an introvert?
Or yeah, I think like, it's possible, but I think it requires empathy and effort.
Yeah. I think one thing that extroverts do though, is they like, not all extroverts obviously, but I've seen like,
every a lot one of my... them. You're claiming all of them are like this, just to be clear.
Lies. Many extroverts that I know, they like jump from friend group to friend group a lot. Yeah. So sometimes if you don't take all the opportunities that they throw at you to like hang out with them, then like sometimes like they'll just kind of like the friendship will drift way faster than it would with my introvert friends, because it's like you didn't like hang out with them like for a couple of weeks now. And so now they're just on a completely different friend group and they're like still constantly going. And so it's just a really weird dynamic. So you sometimes miss your shot with some of these extroverts if you're, yeah.
Well, the flip side is if you miss your shot, then it isn't meant to be, right?
Oh, you're one of those people who's like, it was meant to be, will be.
I've had to kind of resort to that, yeah. What's the alternative? Be like, oh my gosh, I'm going to sit here for hours and am sad about this
friendship. No, I just never thought that you would be like, oh yeah, it's meant to be, it will be type person. I don't know.
I don't mean that in like the, you know, live, laugh, love bullshit kind of way, but you have to just, it's weird. I'm not like this in a lot of different ways, like in work that I do or any of that. Like I care a lot and I have, you know, but.
Right. So here he cares less. So he's
like, there's a limited amount of social bandwidth that one has as an introvert. And if for whatever reason an extrovert is so, you know, tied up with all their other friends, they run away and do whatever they want to do, and that breaks off the friendship, then that's okay, you know? That's, honestly, it's probably better for them, and, you know, that's great, you know?
Right. So who is it, like, I don't know. I think it just depends on each person who's better at keeping in contact, because even with introverted friends, though, like, sometimes they're so introverted that you just don't hear from them for, like, 6 months, and it's like, well...
I mean, yeah, this is an attack against me. But also, I'm not sure you're, like, the beacon of getting back
to people.
It
wasn't against you. Oh, okay. It was against a mutual friend of ours. But, like...
That's a... Yeah.
That person is very introverted.
We're not quite there. Well...
Are we there?
I don't feel like I can sit here and critique other people for not getting back to people. Because I'm not the best
at... For 6 months? Well, you did ignore me for 4 nights.
I don't know. I'm thinking about, you know, you don't respond to everybody either.
Respond to you,
right? Like, but we're at a point where the conversations are going to be fine, and I don't feel anxious having a conversation with you.
What does that mean? Wait. I need you to unpack that statement. It's going to be fine. I don't feel anxious having.
Well, if I were to receive a FaceTime call from you unprovoked, I would pick it up.
Okay.
Because I know that the conversation is probably going to be fine, and it'll probably be amusing, and we've known each other for so long that it's going to be great. There's nothing to worry about. Like, if I get a random FaceTime from, like, someone I only kind of know, I'm almost never going to pick that up. Like if an acquaintance or someone were to FaceTime me unprovoked.
What if they were, like, to call you? Text you?
Well, I don't know. It depends what the text says.
Oh.
Really? Are you saying if someone just randomly FaceTimed you? Unprovoked, no warning, you would automatically pick it up? That's what you're claiming.
It depends on the person.
Uh-huh. Lies and slander. Lies and slander.
No. So do you think this is due to the fact that, like, we are consistently doing a podcast, so we, like, speak quite a bit? Or is it just like would this be the same, like, last year in 2020?
Prior to what happened. Prior to that, yeah. Would have been.
And then after that, no.
Well,
and then now,
well,
yes.
During it, no. And then probably now, yes.
During it, no. You're like, absolutely not reading. It's weird because, like, given last summer, like, everything that happened last summer, never did I think we'd be sitting here quite literally a year later on the 32nd episode of our podcast. It's kind of insane. But I also, you said you wouldn't have started a podcast with me if that didn't happen anyway, so, you know. We have that to be thankful
for. It sounds dumb, but, like, sometimes those falling outs or things that are hard make it the friendship better in the long term.
I mean, yeah, because if that wouldn't have happened, we wouldn't have a podcast. And, you know, then we wouldn't have seen Manos, and that would have been a tragedy.
I love how that's the thing that you referenced.
That was the first thing.
Me having, like, a deep... This is why I don't have deep... This is why I don't have deep conversations, you know? I'm here having a deep conversation. She's like, well, Jeremy, the thing that matters is actually Snuggy Man, Hand God.
Right. It goes Manos, Dr. Goldfoot, Jeremy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Manos, Dr. Goldfoot, the ice cream bunny that doesn't speak.
Oh my god, the ice cream bunny we stan.
And then, like, Jeremy's thoughts and feelings. And maybe Santa in Florida is higher than that.
Santa, he was whiny. Like, I don't think so. But yeah, no, if we hadn't have had that, we definitely wouldn't have had a podcast, at least from what you've told me, so...
Yeah, because I think a podcast requires you to be able to talk with someone about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess not all of them. You could do a podcast on knitting or something, and then you wouldn't need to. But yeah, in a weird way, I guess those were, like, a byproduct of that. No one cares, probably. But a byproduct. Hello, people.
Welcome to our memoir.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
I feel like every falling out we have, like, one conversation that then, like, slingshots us at least into, like, a better zone of our friendship.
Yeah.
Like, a more, like, a deeper level, but it's because we're slingshotted there by, like, something terrible that's happened. Same thing happened senior year, and then we had a, like, conversation at, like, In-N-Out.
Yeah.
Never sponsored by In-N-Out. Never want to be sponsored by In-N-Out. I have beef with In-N-Out, but, like...
Yeah, she must be sponsored by Dr. Pepper.
Oh, my God. That's a you thing. You hate Dr. Pepper because of that reason. But... If you think about it, that's basically the trajectory of every falling out we've had. I think it would have been definitely way worse when you had moved if we hadn't have done a podcast at all. I feel like we probably would have just, like, we would have turned into the mutual friend that we have, where it's like, Christmas and Thanksgiving, how are you doing? You know that's true. That person
how does are you feeling?
How are you feeling?
The deepest of questions.
Right.
As I've learned today.
We're such a weird dynamic.
It's fun, though. I have fun in this, so.
That was not very convincing. You need to say that with more, like.
With more what? Like, yeah, give me Steven Spielberg. What do I need to give more of?
Well, that was like, oh yeah, it's so fun. How is that believable?
Oh yeah.
It's so scary.
It's so like a fun. Horror movie. It's just horror movies, just me being happy all the time.
A nightmare.
People don't notice it though. People think it's normal.
It's so scary. When I see Jeremy being fake nice, it's so terrifying.
I'm really not being fake nice.
I'm sorry. When have you ever said things like, you know what I'm talking about. Like that right there, that was terrifying.
Well, that was performative on purpose.
So how would, like, I don't know. Like, I think with you though, I just kind of expect more. Like, we're both very sarcastic people.
Yeah.
But I've noticed neither one of us takes compliments well at all. So like, whatever.
At all, yeah.
At all. I think I expect sarcasm more. So when someone's being like genuinely nice, I'm like, was that sarcasm? Mm-hmm. Or, like, am I just sarcastic?
Yeah, is that shade, or...
Yeah, because normally if, like, we're telling each other that, oh, this is so great, or, like, that was really great commentary, Jeremy, it's normally the opposite. Or, like, oh, yeah, like, tell me more.
Tie in with the episode, opposites.
Right. Introverts and extroverts. This became very much about ourselves.
It did.
And very little about introverts. We're not an example of extrovert-introvert dynamic.
No.
I don't know. I mean, you can be friends with an extrovert. You can have extroverted friends. I have extroverted friends, but like...
She's like, you can be friends with them. Like, I've heard it exists. I don't
I have really extroverted know friends. Mm-hmm. Just Jeremy's not one of them.
Yeah, yeah. It's the scene from SpongeBob. She's like, pulls out a chip. She's like, he's extroverted. Here's Chip.
Yeah. That's what great. Jeremy describes, apparently, my social life, is SpongeBob in a room with a napkin, a penny, and a bag of chips.
Right.
Right. He's so nice to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just the ray of sunshine.
I you know, I'm constantly critiqued for being too happy.
Very interesting. Jeremy fixes things in, like, one of two ways. Very inspirational, very motivational. It's either...
Yeah, I'm Teresa Caputo.
Exactly. Yeah. He either gives you pros and cons. He doesn't give you pros and cons. He, like, leads you three ways, right? Either he tells you, like, gives you some, like, econ terms and, like, gives you some kind of lecture... Which I appreciate, you know, educate me, but also...
I don't do that often.
No, that only happened like twice. And then he'll like lead you down pros and cons, but not to where he's telling you pros and cons. It's just more like, maybe this. And then, because he doesn't like being very direct about stuff, even though like he is direct about it. Because like, you know, he thinks it's terrible, but then like...
Well, I don't like telling people...
What to do. Right, but pros and cons. And then the other one is, like, just trying to fix things by slapping a pun on it. It's like, okay, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it, though. The effort is there. Wow. He's not as motivational as me, but that's because he doesn't... His endeavor is not to be a motivational speaker.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. I haven't led as many delegations to motivate them, I suppose. Right. Yeah.
I'm very good at it. And my last one wasn't even responded to till 3 days afterwards. So...
Is that to promote how good you are at it?
It's to promote how you don't recognize.
That's to promote. Yeah, you know the real great motivational speakers are the ones that can't get it's responses. It's
just unrecognized talent in this friendship.
Is that what it is?
You're just not recognizing it.
Mm, yeah.
I'm being motivational and you're like, mute. Conversation. You're like, mute. It's like, oh, Ruby's going on a motivational rant. Do not disturb mode.
Well, no, you try really hard on those.
I do.
And like, they are...
On a scale of 1 to 10, how motivational are they for you?
It depends. But I appreciate... I appreciate...
That's like, they're all terrible.
I didn't say that. I did not verbalize that.
I did not verbalize. Thank you, Jeremy.
I will say, they're all... They have varying levels of effort. And I
know... Varying levels of effort? I'm sorry. I put 1,010% into all of those. But thank you for saying they have...
And I acknowledge them and that I appreciate them because I know the intent is good. But I'm not going to sit here and be like, Ruby, you're so motivational.
Am I not?
No.
bursting my bubble here.
No, well, you know, I don't claim to be motivational.
Okay. Well,
yeah, this is an example of me just owning, like, I'm not all the time.
I want to be a motivational person. So, like, for example, like, if I joined a cheerleader squad, would you be like, that's a bad idea, Ruby?
Well,
I know what you would say. Your exact response would be, think about it a little more.
Something like that. Or maybe, you know, what would maybe happen is you just join the cheer squad, not tell me. You'd make, like, a huge decision in your life and be like,
I don't do that, though. Like, I don't just, like, make random decisions. And okay. This only happened once, okay? Still salty about it. No, but, like, joining a cheer squad would be a choice.
I mean, obviously, yeah, if you want to do it, go for it.
Me on a cheerleading squad? Sounds like I'm joining a sorority in grad school, Jeremy.
You could. I'm sure people have done it.
Right. This is the kind of vague responses you get when he thinks something's a bad idea, but doesn't want to tell you that it's a bad idea.
Well, I'm not gonna tell somebody they should not do something or they can't do something.
But if I ask your opinion, like, what do you think about me being a cheerleader? Then I want, like, a direct, like, my opinion, like, your opinion thing. Yeah, I'm like,
I mean, I think it would be an interesting sight to see. It would be an opportunity for you to explore facets of your personality that are certainly unexplored. And that may lead to a positive outcome for you. Or it could be really bad. And, you know, you have to acknowledge that both of those are scenarios that could happen. And
I would just not invite anyone to these cheer matches.
Oh, if you're a cheerleader, I would go.
You would not. You would say that you would, but I don't believe you.
I am sorry. Hey, Jeremy, I'm joining a cheerleading squad. I'm there every... Well... I would just show up for the cheers and, like, go get food during the games, maybe. But then, like, stay for... Don't they do, like, halftime stuff, cheerleaders?
They do. They have, like, a whole routine
halftime. It's like your with solo number. Yeah. So your solo number when you, like, you know... Who's the Frosted Flake guy? Something the Tiger?
Tony the Tiger.
Yeah, so when, like, you know, in your cheer squad thing, when you're, like, in the middle, like, I don't know, like, handstanding on top of Tony the Tiger, then maybe I'd be there and be like, yeah, go Ruby, hurrah.
Hurrah. You from the me trying to pump up the crowd and Jeremy is giving me a hurrah.
Hurrah. Hurrah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that would be a choice.
It would be.
I don't know. I like people who are completely different than me in some ways. Because I'm like, I'm like opposites and like I can learn from them because they don't have like the same, you know, perspectives as me.
So. I understand what you mean, but... This is what I was asking earlier, like, what's the point of... I don't see the point of an introvert being friends with an extrovert for the sake of the difference. Because I don't see the outcome being that you both reach some sort of medium. Like, the change isn't necessarily there.
And so... Do you not find it fun being with someone who, like, leads the conversation more and kind of, like...
No, absolutely it can be. I'm not saying it isn't, but I wouldn't be friends with someone just because they're different than me.
Well, different in the sense that you like their personality and they're different than you, and so therefore...
Well, if you like their personality, then okay. But I don't know. It's just like an instinctual thing with me.
I guess so. Yeah, Jeremy picks up auras, so...
I am Teresa Caputo, so I talk...
He's been doing that for a while.
I talk to the spirits. They're like, no, Jeremy, don't do that.
The only thing I wish I knew who Teresa Caputo was back in high school, so I could have been like...
I knew who she was.
I didn't know who she was until I, like, saw, like, her show, like, this year, actually. And then I was like, oh.
Yeah.
A medium?
You could have seen her scamming people for years.
Right, exactly. You could basically...
I mean, it's, you know...
Interesting.
You should watch some of her cold reads. Like, she'll go on a show and cold read, and she'll go... This is totally off topic, but who cares at this point? She'll go in, like, in front of a group of people and be like... Who has a mother? And then like 12 people will raise their hand. She's like, and this mother, she has a name. And the name starts with a vowel. And then, you know, the light, you know, it's very hit or miss. Or be like, I'm seeing a piece of jewelry. And then be like, oh my gosh, my mother had a piece of jewelry. And then it'll be something like, your mother is saying, good job to me. Keep going, hurrah. And then they'll cry.
So what if one of your friends is, like, a big Teresa Caputo stan and, like, believed in all that stuff and was like, let's go to a reading? Would you go?
There are layers there. I'm friends with someone who's a Teresa Caputo stan who thinks it's legitimate. Mm-hmm. I would go and I would say, yeah, improv, say yes and. Everything she said, that's me. And then after I get my first reading, I say, that's me too. I get all the readings.
Oh, okay.
I want to get my money's worth.
Wow. Really found a way to scam Teresa Caputo.
She's scamming everybody else. Might as well scam her. This is where I'm more extroverted. I'm like, I'm willing to be extroverted if I lead to an awkward confrontation with someone who I think is scamming people. And I will do it publicly. So if I can make it to where she's visibly like uncomfortable after scamming people.
Gosh, Jeremy and making people. There's not Jeremy, his face lights up when he talks about making people uncomfortable he doesn't like in conversations.
If you're a terrible person, I might try to put you in a weird social situation. And right. I'll have fun. And he'll fun just doing know.
You don't even have to tell him because he like reads auras and stuff. Better watch
out. I don't read auras. Mm-hmm. Right. I don't read auras.
Jeremy will know if you're a bad person just by one look at you. Your arms are crossed. Well, that's it. He's gonna go make a scene. Yeah.
That's not true.
You know when you like first meet someone and you're like getting to know them and stuff? Because I had this other person the other day who was just like, yeah, like these people, they've known each other for forever and they just like cannot stop talking about like past experiences they had together. And it like bothered them a lot. And I was just like,
What do you expect?
You know, because they were like, oh yeah, like, but they shouldn't they be talking about like their current life and like the future and stuff and not just like shared experiences in the past? Isn't it just like weird to bring up more shared experiences in the past? And I was like, I mean, not really. Like, I don't know how to answer that question.
I don't know. I don't think it's weird. And I think it's fun to reminisce about things that you've shared. So no, it's not weird, but I understand why it's awkward for the other person.
Yeah, because the other person's like, oh yeah, they're just like talking too much about like when they like went to school together and they were like, oh, that was like years ago. And I was like, but they went to like school together. So like, it's a shared experience. And like, I don't know.
I mean, I've been in situations like that where people are talking about stuff that I have no connection with. And it's right. Like, well, you know, I can't complain about this.
60% of this podcast. like, no, I mean, it's true though. It's like, if you, the more shared experiences, like, especially like past experiences, I don't know. I feel like that's normal, but some people are just like not here for it. I don't know. I mean, shared experiences are important. And like dissecting them in the present is not the same as like living it in the past. So
no, they tend to, well, at least the traumatic ones tend to be more amusing.
Right. And what I've known from like our past experiences and previous experiences with you and like other people I've been to school with, like you'll have people who like went to school through like middle school and high school and stuff. And their experiences are like at a 5. And then we tell them our experiences and ours are like at a 50. Like for some reason, like ours are just kind of like more insane. Do you have like dynamics with certain friends where like other friends where it's just like, and we've talked about this before, but like, is it a different dynamic with every friend you have because they're like different people? Or is there like certain friends where it's just like, this is a weird dynamic?
The main characteristic that's different for me when I'm interacting with certain people is how my humor and the other person's humor kind of commingle mm-hmm. in a way and how that works. And that kind of establishes the dynamic. So yeah, there are differences because each person has a different sense of humor. Maybe they have different values. You know, it can be a lot of different things. So no, I think everybody is different, but I think the friendships that I've had for a while that I tend to enjoy the most are ones that probably seem strange to other people, like objectively.
But like, how can something seem strange objectively to someone who's not in a friend? That's another thing. How can someone like objectively have an opinion on a friendship that they're not in? Like, what do you mean objectively? Like,
well, I mean, okay.
That seems strange objectively.
How do I put this? Nothing is objective, I guess. We're gonna get into a postmodernist argument if you really wanna have one. I don't, you know, it's all subjective.
Okay.
So when I say objective in this sense, I mean the other person is thinking rationally and based off of their own perception, what they think normal is, and then they're judging it based off of that, which is as objective as you possibly kind of can be when you're determining whether a friendship is normal, but it is still by definition subjective. So I don't know. It deviates from what a lot of people think is the normal, maybe, would be the only thing I could say.
But what would deviate from like, that's what I'm asking. Like, what is deviation from like a normal friendship?
Yeah, I mean, I would assume the main deviation probably has to do with personality types and senses of humor in the way that they interact. But there is no normal, I guess. There's no uniform normal. Well, I'll use ours because it's an easy thing that we can talk about. So constantly heard from other people in high school, it's weird. Our friendship's mm-hmm. weird. It doesn't make sense, right? And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that people didn't really understand the dynamic at all. They didn't understand how the personalities commingled at all. And when they did, the humor didn't make sense to them. You know, we experienced that a lot. Also, we didn't talk as much, like, around other people. They thought that that was weird. So, you know, based off of their own perception of what normal is, you know, that's going to differ from person to person. Those people are thinking they're making an objective analysis on what a normal friendship is and if our friendship fits that model. So, you know, it's more just like the perception of objectivity more than actual objective, because you can't be objective in this. You know, it's like saying what is, you know, what is good or what is bad. But my definition of good is not going to be your definition of good.
Right.
If someone asks you, is your friendship a good friendship? How do you reply to that?
They're not in the friendships. Like,
well, you know, but they're not in the friendship when they're telling you it's weird.
Well, and they just probably have different, like, what is a good friendship? I'd probably just ask them, like, what is a good friendship? Like, what does that mean? I mean.
And then how do they answer that?
I don't know.
That's right. They can't really.
I mean, there's no, yeah, but like, I was like, what's the difference between like a good friendship and one that's like weird? I don't know.
I don't think there's a set list.
Yeah, but some friendships feel different than other friendships. Like there's even if you say objectively there's not one, like there are friendships that are different than other friendships. Like it's a different vibe. I mean, I guess it's a different vibe because they're different people.
Right.
But in general, the construct of it's just different, you know?
No, I don't know. I would think that each individual friendship would be different. Unless you're just hanging out with clones.
No, not doing that. But I think maybe in terms of like things you would consider normal in conversation versus not normal. Like, you know, like having normal conversations with someone that's very logically thought out and it's like, okay, well, this was like a normal conversation versus like, I mean, you can have a weird conversation with a stranger also, but there are some people who it's like, consistently when I talk to them, it's like, these conversations are weird. For example, like the weird things that happen to us when we hang out, how do you like, would explain that? Like, would that be something that would be considered, like, so you would just consider that not weird because technically anything can be weird.
It's weird to me.
What does that mean?
It means it's weird to me, but I can't say that other people aren't experiencing similar things.
Have you ever asked anyone if they've experienced similar things?
I have not asked anybody else if they've gone to a modern art museum and felt like the universe was coming after them. It's not a question I open with.
Have you ever?
Believe it or not, not something I open with.
Have you ever asked someone like, oh, have you had like weird experiences like you've described the situation to other people. Have anybody else have like a weird experience like at a museum or like just like those kind of like weird moments where you're like, someone's messing with us? Because I've asked my friends, like, have you had any, like, weird experiences with your friends where you're, like, in a parking lot cleaning off, like, a seat?
And then you're high off of fumes, then you think the wind disappears.
Right, and then you see a cop, and then he leaves, and he just comes back. And Have you ever had those experiences? And they're always like, who are you hanging out with? And I'm like, it's not the, no, like, you don't understand. Like, we don't try, normally some very normal situation that we set up goes very wrong.
Yeah, sure.
No one else has ever explained to me, like, everybody thinks that I am making it up, and I'm like, I am not. Like,
no, you're not.
I promise you.
Well, that, like, well, you give hyperbole, right? So you can be like, instead of the Modern Art Museum, like, we were in the Vatican.
we were at the Louvre.
And we walked around, and then, you know, Malfoy, that's someone from Harry Potter, right?
Do you think I just lie?
I don't know.
I've, like, so many people have told us about the time shavings things. We're like, well, you didn't think to just a simple Google search? It's like, no, we were gone for like 5 hours. They're like, you went, you took your phone and looked up a Petco, a PetSmart, 5 Walmarts, but you didn't Google time shaving.
No.
And we're like, I don't know. I can't tell you why we didn't.
I think it's because we tend to have, it's like the improv thing, a yes and mentality. Oh, time shavings? Okay. We don't question it. We're determined.
But we question everything else.
Right.
Like, And then we just, like, get set on these, like, wild goose chases of things. Like, literally, I have been to, like, other restaurants with friends, and it goes perfectly normal. The one time we go to In-N-Out with Jeremy, we go here, and then I just drop the lid, which, by the way, also was, like, a flashback of, like, literally senior year of high school. I remember we were at In-N-Out.
Yeah.
With this, like, meaningful conversation happened, and he was tearing up lids, and I remember him, because I thought it was weird. I was like, what in the world are you doing? He's like, I just had to be busy, tore up three lids, and he was like, it's so weird. These lids are just so flimsy. You could just break them off really easily. He's like, that's not very secure to have, like, on top of a cup. Pan to now, like, a couple of years later, we're at the same In-N-Out, the exact same location, and nothing like that's ever happened.
No.
People do not believe me. They're like, there's no way that you were, like, in a parking lot trying to clean Dr. Pepper off of, like, a seat.
Yeah, we were.
High off a turtle shit. I was going to say turtle shaving.
I thought you were going to say turtle shit.
No, I was going to say turtle shavings, tine shavings, turtle wax.
Turtle wax, yeah.
And they're like, no, I think you were just, like that. Like, I was like, no, like, that was definitely weird. They're like, are you sure it wasn't just because it was, like, cold outside and you guys felt weird? I'm like, no, like, you don't understand, like... This was different. And then they also don't believe that we run into, like, incompetent workers at these places.
We do.
There's, like, no way.
We do. And it's insane. And I don't want to, like, crap on customer service or anything like that. Because, you know, especially in the pandemic. They've had a lot. But, like, we tend to just find the people who... It's not that they don't know anything. It's that they don't know anything. And then they're just, like, really confident.
Except for the guy who was looking for tine shavings. Do you remember that guy?
The tablet guy?
He was looking straight at us, just going like, we don't have them. And I'm just like, okay.
We should have listened to him.
There was the one lady who was like, it's downtown.
Oh my God. and then like, tie-in, years later, walking down the certain street, we find where the feed store was.
I'm telling you, the universe is screwing with us. Like, I think... Ours is the only friendship where, like, things that we have done in the past have been brought up again are things that, like, there's, like, a consistent flow of things.
It's like a sitcom.
It is like a sitcom because even, like, oh my gosh, this is, like, a tangible one for you audience listener. We did a JJ the Jet Plane episode, right? Like, literally, I think two episodes ago.
Yeah.
We did. Go listen to that one. And so this is, like, the first time in years we'd ever talked about JJ the Jet Plane.
Right.
We've, like, watched the show, which, by the way, if anybody wants to watch the show, let me just tell you, it's horrifying.
It's art.
Jeremy's a stan, but, you know.
It's art if you close your eyes.
Literally, we'd never once mentioned JJ the Jet Plane in forever, but we've been a stan of TLC for a while. And then, like
we're just one. We've been one stan.
Yeah, we think we count as one. One stan. Yeah. We're two halves of a whole idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, we looked up TLC shows. I looked up TLC shows and found that JJ the Jet Plane is actually a TLC show. Like, how is that not the universe? You cannot tell me.
I don't know.
Or the time Jeremy said he didn't want to do Twilight and then Netflix that night announced that it was putting it on.
So weird.
Stuff like this.
Canva?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of coincidences.
Propel?
Right, I had literally never heard of Propel before the lunch episode. Like, I thought you were talking about Gatorade.
No.
Gatorade's not clear.
Propel is worse.
I swear to God, I had never in my life ever heard of Propel. Ever. And then Jeremy mentions this once in the episode. And the next day I'm watching a YouTube video and the ad that comes up for it is Propel. It didn't come up one time. It came up throughout the whole day, just ads of Propel. I still see ads of Propel, and I had never seen them before. And I'm just like, this is so weird.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, I would think that, oh, it's probably just, like, technology. But at the same time, like, there's no way the technology heard JJ the Jet Plane was a TLC show and put it under TLC shows. There's no way that Netflix just decided to do the Twilight series the day after we talk about it. Those things don't happen.
Yeah.
So, like... The fact that, like, that was a thing. There's just a lot of coincidences in our friendship. The feed store. How could that have happened? How could that have happened years later?
I don't know.
Like, what are the odds? Also, I didn't recognize it. You did.
Yeah, I recognized the name.
And I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah, weird things happen to us. I'm often. Never going to give this up. Like, no, is this going to, like...
It's too weird at this point.
It is weird.
It's too weird. beginning.
I mean, but there have also been, now that we realized it, I think everything in our friendship has made sense. Because there is a couple of times in the past now, if we try to put things together, where it's like, this is too coincidental. The SAT, when we took it,
that
like,
was insane.
There was a lot of people there, like,
a lot.
Taking the SAT. And they were distributing people by last names, and then you had like a number of where you'd sit in the room. And we just so happened to be in the same room, and he was right behind me. Like, what are the odds?
It was weird, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. We got a little off topic, but...
We did, but you know.
Yeah, did we want to do a movie review? I'm on the fence. So do we want to just, like... I think we should talk about the movie.
Can I have another chance of picking a different movie this week? I do not need this one on my record.
This is on your record.
This is not on my record.
It is, because we watched the whole thing.
I went to bail, though. It's not fair. It said, let's bail, like, 2 times, and he was like, no.
I will know, because we were, like, 30 minutes in.
No, because he wanted to hold it against me forever. Like, I went to bail, so this wouldn't be on my track record.
Well, it's on your track record. Can talk about it briefly.
Vito, I need to get it off.
No, we can talk about it briefly. I don't want to give this movie a full movie review because it was, I don't even think we can.
I don't want to talk about it at all. It's like, let's just give like a small, like it is, if you took like Totally Spies and made it a high school play, and then you were like, let's also add like a intermission type skit of like a singing gorilla. And a group, a boy band with a singing gorilla.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the whole movie. That's very weird.
So what's the movie called? 36 Husbands. Yeah. We were both like, oh. Yeah, you're right. 36 Husbands, an indie film, definitely.
How did this get good reviews?
This has happened to you twice where you look for stuff that has great reviews.
No, literally, let me tell you, these reviews, like, hold up. I need you to hear some of, like, you've seen the movie, so let me just tell you what some of these reviews
okay.
were.
Okay. Well, basically, for the people that are listening, the movie is, like, these spy women who are marrying a bunch of men and under the perception that they're getting, that they are their husbands, and they're sort of drugging them consistently to keep them to where, while one is interacting with them, the other one's sleeping. And it keeps happening over and over again. That part of the movie made sense. The part of the movie that did not make sense is the spy activity, like, what they were trying to, like, get. It was like a system of keys, and then there was like an earring that they were trying to get.
The tag here is 3 spies saving the world one husband at a time. Also, it's 36 husbands.
Yeah, that's what we said. 36 husbands.
Did we?
Yeah.
So, like, okay, for example, like some of these reviews, like, love this film, lighthearted comedic film.
Comedic.
How much fun is it to stretch a budget? Like, comedy hits the spot.
It hit a certain spot. It was not a pleasant one.
The plot may not be too realistic, but the movie is very entertaining, filled with good music.
Good music. Okay, what is the plot? Outside of the fact of like what I mentioned with the husbands, did we ever establish what they were trying to solve?
No. Someone called it a don't miss movie. Let me tell you, you can miss it. Oh, apparently the band in it was already a band.
Okay.
It was featured in that film, and I think it produced the film, so that makes a lot more sense now. Why they were in, like, every cutscene.
So your overall thoughts on the film? Like, we don't suggest you go see it. We'll get that out of the way
this
first.
This is now the bar for lowest films. When in the future, when you hear me rate films, I'm going to be like, is it as bad as 36 Husbands?
Were there any parts that you liked?
No,
yeah, me either.
Well, maybe there was this one scene where, like, she was using her karate skills on that, like, one manager guy, and it was, like, the most struggle bus thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. I'm trying to describe the movie more just so people can...
You don't need to. It's, like, a high school play.
No, it's the system of, like, the husbands. They're also fighting against... It's weird who they're fighting against because they're fighting against the CIA in parts.
I thought they were part of the CIA.
They're not part of the CIA because the CIA is following them, and they're trying to get around that. I don't really know. Anyway... Yeah, so no real movie review for the week because, yeah, we can't with this. But we can do the book review.
Right. Because we give the most...
sound advice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, last straw again. I guess I'll go first since the book's next to me. I don't know if we've done this one, but we'll go with it. As soon as the music started up, Uncle Joe reached out to hold hands with me and his wife, and he started singing. I tried to break free a couple of times, but Uncle Joe had an iron grip. The song was only like a minute long, but to me it felt like half an hour. I don't know if I have advice from that as much as just like I relate to him in this situation. You know what? I'll say it. it's okay not to like it when people start singing around you. You just gotta, you know, it sounds terrible, but just like bite the bullet and you'll get through it. Eventually people will stop singing.
Because he kills them. No.
Eventually people. Is that what you think the plot of this book is?
That's what I think your plot is.
No, I don't. You don't kill people. You just.
The way you said that was very ominous. Like, they'll just stop singing one day.
I mean, no, they'll stop singing, you know?
Right. Meanwhile, Ruby, you should do a musical. Okay. But the item I had the biggest hopes for was the personal hovercraft. I figured getting home after school would be a breeze once my hovercraft finally showed up in the mail. Huh. Interesting. What advice do I have from this?
Yeah, talk about your hovercraft you own.
I wish, honestly, then you just could like, go anywhere. Get on that. That's my message from here. Whoever wants
to. Your message is get on that? I think you need context.
Hovercraft, though. I'm saying, like, why don't we have a hovercrafts yet where we can just, like, stand on them and, you know, go places?
Ah, so you're just critiquing all of science.
Yes, science. Where is my personal hovercraft? Right. Why isn't it available on Amazon?
Like, it probably is somewhere.
Yeah. Also, I guess my serious advice from this would be, like, things aren't always what they seem if you order them online when you're doing online shopping. So be careful because, you know, it may say, like, invisible ink pen and then be, like, a ripoff.
Yeah.
Or it may be, like, oh, yeah, you should definitely order these, like, markers that are also erasable because most of the time those don't work. So, you know, just make sure you're careful with what you buy online. That it's actually what you want and not some kind of gimmick. Because we're experts at this. We grew up in the age where there was a lot of infomercials about stuff, like moon sand or moon shoes. A lot of moon products.
Moon landing.
Right. So anyways, that's my advice. Just be careful what you buy online. Make sure it's what you want and not some kind of like a gimmick. You don't want to be scammed. So next time you're buying a mood ring online, make sure, you know, it works well. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know where you're going with that. Make sure that the moon sand is correct moon sand. That's the real theme for the episode. I don't know. That's our episode, though. Sorry for no movie review, but we can't.
Yeah, hopefully we talked about editing Jeremy. I really hope this episode is about introverts and extroverts because we went on quite a few tangents that were not really tangents at that point. It was quite long, so.
We'll see. Maybe we'll just, I'll edit all of it out. It'll be 5 minutes of us talking and then just the JJ at the Jet Plane song on repeat. And then the movie review, and then this.
I swear, I'm making the prediction now that they're going to try to like make a JJ the Jet Plane movie or reboot it. Like, I feel like that's where we're going with this. And if that happens, I'm going to lose my mind.
Would you be involved in live-action JJ the Jet Plane?
No, I'm just saying that, like, I feel like that's what's going to happen next. Like, I call the universe Herky. Messing with us. Jeremy's there.
I'm Herky. You can be JJ.
I don't want to be in that.
It's too late. We're already signed up.
It's too late. Right. Exactly. Right.
I don't know. Anything we should plug?
Our Instagram at everythingistyne. Our Twitter at everythingtyne. Our TikTok at everythingistyne. And our personal Instagram at
everythingistyne. Yeah.
Yeah. Go look up our content. Especially our personal Instagram. We will be uploading soon.
More. We've already uploaded a lot.
Right.
You made it sound like there's nothing there, and there definitely is. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. Jeremy's really been doing a good job. Like, I don't really know what it looks like, but Jeremy says he's been taking care of it.
I know. So. I've been curating a lot of pictures, and you've been going through and doing a lot of copious edits and posting them, and then we've really been discussing the descriptions and like the aesthetic of it. And so I just want people to know that it's really important for us that it looks good, and we're putting a lot of time into it, and.
You could even say that Instagram page is a metaphor for our lives.
Yeah. It really, I mean, every time I look at it, I cry.
Right.
Exactly. And I know you feel the same way, so.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very symbolic of how we feel in life, what our lives are.
Right.
Everything. So.
A glimpse into our soul, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, go follow it.
Yeah.
Tell other people to follow it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some would say it is the best Instagram account that exists. And those people would be right.
Exactly. We're really just looking to get verified on Instagram.
Right. I mean, at this point, it's kind of like a crime that we're not for that account.
Right.
I mean, name anybody with better content. I'll wait.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
We have all the content.
Anyway, that's all we have. Have a good week. Bye.
Yeah.